Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Hope we can make your Saturday even just a little bit better by bringing you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. Joining me to do so, as he does so very often on this show, please welcome from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube, Jeremy Branch.
Glad to be back. Glad to be here as always. And, you know, a lot of times Julio and I are either scrambling to find topics to discuss or scrambling to find ways to squeeze all of the stuff that we want to talk about into a show. This week is the latter. We got a lot of fun stuff that we're going to be discussing, from the finale of The Boys to the Emmys to a fun conversation regarding an actor and whether or not they're going to be sticking around as the leading man in Hollywood or not. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun, but that does mean that we're not going to be able to get to some of the things that we do like to talk about. This week, House of the Dragon premiered its fifth episode, so we're halfway through season one, and as we get closer, we will come back to discussing that. But real quick, Julio, general thoughts on episode 5 of House of the Dragon?
I mean, this continues to be a fantastic series, one of the best shows on television, and when we get to talking the Emmy nominations later, you may be wondering why House of the Dragon isn't in there. It's because it did not have an episode out in the eligibility period. You know, it's been, almost 2 years since the first season?
Mm-hmm.
So the eligibility period runs from June 1 to May 31. So June 1 of 23 through May 31 of 24 was the eligibility period. So House of the Dragon didn't air any episodes in that time period. So that's why it's not in there.
There's a couple others that are probably going to come up just in the conversation that weren't in that eligibility period. But
for sure.
I think the biggest takeaway for me from this season, and it is a mild spoiler, but that House Targaryen is going to have to go and find a couple more people with that Targaryen lineage to ride a couple of dragons so that they can kind of up their firepower, I guess, which is really exciting about things moving forward. But yeah, I thought it was a good episode as well. Lots of slower moments, conversations, character stuff, fallout of the death of Rhaenys. So cool stuff. But before we started recording, you mentioned that there was something else that was on your mind before we jump into the regularly scheduled program.
This is big news in some circles. It definitely is big news for me. But just on Friday morning, we had the drop of a new single from one of the greatest artists of all time.
Hit me.
Weird Al Yankovic dropped a new polka medley Friday morning.
Okay.
And it's awesome. You know, it's every bit as much fun as every other. If you are familiar with the oeuvre of Weird Al Yankovic, as I am, and I'm assuming, Jeremy, that you are, you know that he's probably best known for doing his parody songs where, you know, he takes like he turned Beat It into Eat It, or he turned Gangster's Paradise into Amish Paradise. He takes a popular song, writes funny lyrics to it. There you go. Boom, you got a song. And that's, you know, those are certainly his biggest hits, the thing he's best known for, White and Nerdy, as opposed to Riding by Chameleon Air, Riding Dirty.
Isn't that what his kind of polka medleys do as well, but a lot of songs within one song?
Basically, yeah. Basically, he takes a bunch of popular songs and puts them into a medley done as polkas.
That's fun. I got to check it out. I haven't heard it yet. Yeah. This is news to me, so I'm definitely going to have to give that a listen.
So yeah, just dropped on Friday morning. It's got a great little animated video for it. And he'd been teasing all week that there was a new single coming out this week. And I figured, he had come up with a new parody, because like he made a big deal. It's been a long time since he's put out an album, and he's kind of said, I'm not sure if I'm ever going to put out another album, because the way that the industry has changed and the way that popular music has changed, it maybe doesn't make sense to make albums anymore from an artist like him. His process takes a while, and he doesn't, you know, instantly react to things the way that some other people react to them. And like, if he said, basically, if I have a really good idea, I'm going to do it, but I'm just going to do it and put it out. I'm not going to like wait until I have a whole album of stuff. And he's done a few things here and there. He did a new original Star Wars song for a Star Wars Lego movie that came out a year or two ago. And, you know, he's popped up here and there. He stayed in the consciousness like he always has, but he hasn't dropped an album. And I don't think he's getting ready to drop an album here either. But I figured he was either doing a new parody song or maybe he had a new original song. And that's the other factor that, you know, we talked about. He kind of has three different things that he does musically. He does do original songs. He does both original songs that are just straight original songs. And he's also done what he calls style parodies, where he'll do a song in the style of an artist that's an original song.
I see. Okay.
Just a couple of great examples. Probably one of his best known original songs, a song called Dare to Be Stupid, that is, uh-huh, is very much a Devo song, but it's not a parody of a Devo song. It's a parody of the style of Devo.
Right.
He had one called Germs that's very much a Nine Inch Nails style parody.
So, I gotta check that out. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah. So he's done a number of things like that over the years. There's an REM one. There's a They Might Be Giants one. Sometimes there's a Pixies one. You know, sometimes it's artists that are not necessarily as obvious to like a mainstream pop music audience, but they're always interesting. So I thought, oh, maybe he's got a new style parody. You know, maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe he's got a. I did not expect that the single was going to be a polka medley, because like the polka medleys have always just kind of been like album tracks, basically.
Yeah.
And I figured, all right, if he's dropping a new single, this is like a pop culture moment. He's dropping a single. And so I was really kind of surprised when I saw that it was a polka medley, but it's a lot of fun and it hits a lot of stuff. Not just like the real recent stuff, but like a lot of like the, as much as it has been hard for anything to raise its head above water to become universally known, the way, you know, the way songs used to be, like now the music audience is so niche that there are very few songs.
It would
have
to be like Taylor Swift or Billie Eilish or somebody huge for it to even make sense.
There you go. The first song in this medley is a Billie Eilish song, and it closes with a Taylor Swift song.
It makes sense.
So,
yeah.
I mean, there you go. But so you got, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that in there. But it takes place over a greater span of time. It's not like just the last year or two. So like the Billie Eilish song is Bad Guy. That's been out for a few years. The Taylor Swift song is Shake It Off. Again, been out for a few years. You've got like some real recent stuff in there, like Vampire by Olivia Rodrigo.
Okay.
But you've also got stuff like Uptown Funk in there, which again has been out for a little while. So it's interesting. It's kind of more of an overview of stuff that has been big over the past five to 10 years. Less than that, like 2 to 10 or a year to 10 years. But stuff that has risen above everything else to where you can still say everybody knows this song.
Uh-huh.
There was nothing in there where I was like, well, what is this now? Like, and I keep up with music, but even I don't keep up with every bit of new music anymore. You know, it had things like Old Town Road. Everybody heard Old Town Road.
Yep.
I don't care where you are, who you are, you heard Old Town Road. I don't care where you are, who you are. If you didn't hear WAP, you heard of WAP.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
So those are the songs that he's chosen to do in this one. And I think that was a smart choice. This may be like, in terms of like recognition of every single song in the medley, this may be the one where he's just hit the hardest. And like I said, I'm kind of surprised that a polka medley is the way he went here. But that being said, I've always loved the polka medleys. I think they're a lot of fun. And I just think that kind of dopamine rush is just what we need right now. Like everything's so dark and grim and foreboding and everybody's scared of everything that's going on in the world right now. But bless Weird Al Yankovic for providing an antidote to that, even if it's just, you know, for 4.5 minutes. So thank you for that. Maybe we'll play a little bit of that when we come back. We got to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
So you're a tough guy, like it really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. So hello from the other side. I must have called a thousand times. To think I was smart, but you made me look so naive. The way you sold me for parts, you sunk your teeth into me. Oh, blood sucker, dream crusher, bleeding me dry like a gosh darn vampire. Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. Can't nobody tell me. Quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído. Para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with your body. Oh, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why. I'm in love with your body. Oh, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why. The old lady who.
News Radio 92.3 at AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. And more than just a little taste of the new polka medley from Weird Al Yankovic titled Polka Mania, just dropped Friday morning. And we were talking a little bit about this before the break. So you get what I'm saying here, Jeremy. It's kind of an overview.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's some really good inclusions in there. That pretty good stuff.
Yeah, so out of everything you heard, after that, you've got, we went into Uptown Funk as I started talking there. You got WAP, as I mentioned. You've got Ariana Grande's Thank You Next is in there. And then we wrap up with Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. So videos animated, every different segment is animated in a different style, and it has a lot of fun. And it's just, like I said, it's kind of a snapshot of where popular culture is from a music standpoint over the past few years. And I figured that was also a good intro to get into talking about another kind of snapshot of a moment we're in popular culture wise right now. I wanted to talk about America's next great movie star, or at least the person who is being sold to us right now as America's next great movie star. And if you listen to Andrew McKay's show on weekday mornings here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620, you heard me talk a little bit about this Friday morning. That is the star of the new movie Twisters that is out this weekend, and also the star of the hit film on Netflix right now called Hitman, that being Glenn Powell.
Yeah, I heard of him.
Who is all of a sudden like the movie star of the moment. You know, I think a lot of people first noticed him in Top Gun Maverick, where he's kind of the Val Kilmer character in this one, although Val Kilmer's in it. But he's like, you know, kind of the frenemy character, for lack of a better term. And then, he had the big hit rom-com at the end of last year, Anyone But You, with the female version of Glenn Powell, the female movie star of the moment who's being sold to everybody, Sydney Sweeney. And it's funny because they're both in this position, right? That I think that like it's very much you can tell the full court press is behind them right now. But I don't feel the same way about Sydney Sweeney. Like I don't find myself very often saying America's next great movie star, Sydney Sweeney, the way I do Glenn Powell. And I recognize I'm being a little bit more sarcastic there. And I don't know what the reason for that is. I don't know why I feel that way about Glenn Powell and don't feel that way about Sydney Sweeney. I mean, I guess I do know a couple of reasons why I feel that way about Sydney Sweeney. But
yeah, two big reasons. I get it.
More than a couple. She's a very attractive woman. She's a very attractive woman. But Glenn Powell's a very attractive guy, too. Like, we can admit that. He's a good-looking guy. And he's a good actor. You know, I have this little chip on my shoulder about him, I'll admit. But he doesn't really deserve that. It's, you know, more power to him that he's getting a push.
Is it because he's hot?
Am I sarcastic about it because he's hot?
Not externally, but do you feel the way that you feel about him because of his looks?
No, I just think it's interesting. Like our friend Steve Wise had made a post recently about the way he's getting pushed, and like, you know, he needs to talk to Taylor Kitsch and Josh Hartnett. And, you know, there's been people over the years that have been pushed this way, and some of them have blown up, and some of them have faded very quickly. Somebody else in the comments on that Facebook post had mentioned Sam Worthington. And like, I feel like that's not an inapt comparison either. Like, for a minute there, Sam Worthington was everywhere.
Yeah.
And then he wasn't. And like, he's still around. He's in one of the, you know, just last year was in one of the biggest movies that's ever been made, the second Avatar movie. So the first Avatar movie too. I think I have the better comparison for Glenn Powell. And I think it's a better comparison in terms of somebody that has had that kind of push, but hasn't proven to be a flash in the pan, but at the same time hasn't gone on to become the biggest star in the world either, but maintains a very regular presence and gets a lot of interesting work and maybe can't just do anything that he wants, but does a lot and works regularly. And like, I think that this is the career I'd like to see Glenn Powell have from putting aside all the hype and the media push and all of that, and just like looking at the kind of actor he is and the potential that I think he has. If Glenn Powell is lucky, Glenn Powell is the new Chris Pine.
Oh, that's a good choice. In my mind, I'm thinking of a Chris, but I was thinking of Chris Pratt. But there's something about Chris Pine that I actually personally like a little bit better. And I think it's to kind of what you're saying is that he is clearly a leading man, but hasn't been you know, front and center in as many projects as we might have thought, especially when he played Kirk in Star Trek. I think a lot of people assumed, oh, now he's going to be the guy. But yeah.
And I don't think Chris Pine has been typecast either. I think some of these guys have a tendency to get typecast, or they have a tendency to start just playing themselves. And that has not been the case for Chris Pine. Where I would argue it kind of has been for Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And I think Chris, and I think there's also been some backlash against Chris Pratt, deserved or not, and I don't think it's totally deserved, that, you know, I hope is not going to happen to Glenn Powell.
Why do you think that they're being, like, how is he being pushed as the new guy? Are we just talking about the fact that he has a good agent? I mean, like, who is telling us that he's a movie star when he's actually quantifiably a movie star?
I mean, I think it's just the fact that he's getting put front and center for everything right now.
But is that a good manager, or do you think that it's studios are like, we got to get Glenn Powell? Is it a combination of both? Maybe I just don't understand, like, what makes it a push versus what would be something organic, because I really do think that Glenn Powell has the goods. And I think naming those three movies that we talked about, Top Gun, Anyone But You, and Hitman. And then I hadn't seen Twisters yet, but he's not playing the same character in each of those. In fact, in Hitman, he gets to play a lot of different characters. So I think he's talented. I think he's got the look. I think he's got charisma. I think he's going to stick around for a while.
I think it's just that thing where these things are cyclical, and these things do build on themselves. So some of it is organic and some of it is hype machine. And some of that comes from talented PR and talented managers and things like that. And some of it comes on, hey, he was in this successful movie, so let's cast him because people seem to like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't, I'm not saying there's a conspiracy here, but it can feel that way. You know what I mean? It feels like Hollywood is not a monolith as much as it feels like it is sometimes.
Is he our new Batman in the James Gunn DC universe? Are you good with that?
I don't see that as necessarily the casting I would like to see. But I also think that he's probably a little young. He's not that young. He's in his mid-30s. But that feels a little young for what I think, from what I've heard, James Gunn's Batman is going to be.
Okay.
Especially, although that would be older than Robert Pattinson. So
yeah, I think he would be a great Bruce Wayne. I think I'd have to see him in the cape and cowl to really commit to that end, but he definitely could be that lighter version of this brooding dark character where we have the Robert Pattinson version, which is very much in line with the nihilism. Maybe we need a more Glenn Powell-esque Batman.
Well, and you know, and that's another thing. Like, I've seen some people say, you know, I hope he stays away from the capes.
He
doesn't need a superhero movie, and if we're going to keep things in line of the Chris Pine career track, yes, Chris Pine was in two Wonder Woman movies, but he wasn't the superhero.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that would be a smart career move for him to not do that kind of thing, even though that is still currently the big thing. We'll see if it remains the big thing. I think a lot is weighing on Deadpool and Wolverine coming out next week.
Yeah.
Not just Deadpool and Wolverine, but a lot of other things like the James Gunn DC movies, as you just mentioned. Yeah, we've had a lot of stuff trickling out about the Superman movie that he's working on right now that is pretty close to finishing primary photography now. So, you know, we'll get that in a year. We got a lot of news has come out about, you know, the upcoming Marvel movies. And, of course, Comic-Con is next weekend. So we're about to get an overload of news on all of the nerd properties here in the next week or so. There's been stuff trickling out over the past week or so, and it will, you know, the floodgates are going to open next week. So I'm actually going to be at Comic-Con. When I get back from Comic-Con, we will definitely be talking about all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think it remains to be seen if this push is something that's going to last. I do think he's a talented actor, and it's fun to kind of make these jokes. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. No, my feelings aren't hurt about it. Well, I think I just have found myself really enjoying his presence on screen. But like you said, time will tell, and we'll see what his next big project is.
We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Three little babes in their bassinets. Angelic little triplets, or triple threats. They might have fooled the others, but they won't fool me. It's time to give these teething, seething three the third degree. Which of the bigwig triplets did it? Who of the crew would commit this crime? My little brat, make a mommy go splat.
It's a story pretty gory for a nursery rhyme.
Which of the bigwig triplets did it? Which of the spawn had the brawn to kill? Will it maybe get tried for matricide? Coochie-coochie-coo. Time for you to admit it. So quick as a whip, gotta pick which bigwig triplet did it.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Brandt on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. And Jeremy, that song right there has the potential to mint us a couple of new EGOT winners, because that song, Which of the Pickwick Triplets Did It, which was...
It's Martin Short, right?
It was an only... no, that's Steve Martin.
Oh, which? Okay.
From Only Murders in the Building, Season 3. That song was nominated for Best Original Song for the Emmy, and... Two of the songwriters, who unfortunately I don't have their names in front of me right now, but I did read that two of the four songwriters on that song, if they win, will be newly minted EGOT winners.
So, very cool.
So that's always something to look forward to. It's always fun to see that. The Emmy nominations did come out this week, as I mentioned. I know it probably seems like we just had the Emmys, and we kind of did, because we had a situation last year where the Emmys got pushed back. The nominations came out, and then the actual awards got pushed back by the Hollywood strikes last year. So we did just have the Emmy ceremony back in, I think, February, March, somewhere in there. But the actual eligibility period for the Emmys has not changed. It still goes from June 1st to May 31st. So we've just wrapped a new Emmy season of eligibility, and we do have the new nominations out. Emmy is going back to their normal schedule, so we'll see the awards later this year. We're not going to get too deep into the individual nominations here, because we'll do that when we get closer to the actual Emmys. We'll talk about all the nominees. We'll do a whole show of going over the nominees in each category and who we think deserves to win, who should win, that kind of thing. But I kind of wanted to broadly talk about which shows and networks or streamers or whatever have done well in the nominations and what we think might be kind of missing here too. The first thing I want to mention is some stuff that you might be like, why is that not in here? And we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. House of the Dragon did not have any episodes during this eligibility period. If you recall, this new season is coming close to 2 years after the first season. So there were no episodes from June 1st, 2023 to May 31st, 2024. So it doesn't qualify. In order for a series to qualify, it has to have at least six episodes out within the eligibility period. If it's a miniseries, the entire miniseries has to come out by the time the eligibility period ends. So if you come out in that weird period where some of your episodes are coming out in the next eligibility period, you have to wait till the next eligibility period. So no House of the Dragon. The Boys also, it's been 2 years since the previous season of The Boys, so there was no season of The Boys in there. A series that has been nominated in the past. Some other series that you may be used to hearing about over the past few years during the Emmy season, they've ended. So no Succession, no Barry, no... There's a few that have been like big names over the past few years, or something like Beef that was a mini series that cleaned up last year, not in there anymore. Ted Lasso, that's done now. So all of those ended before this eligibility period, so therefore they're done. Better Call Saul is another one I was thinking of. Perennial nominee that did not win any awards, amazingly enough.
So shameful.
So it's interesting in that we've got a lot of new blood this year and or a lot of series that have gotten significant nominations in the past but haven't necessarily gotten the wins or gotten a lot of wins. It's also interesting because usually this time of year you hear HBO, 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 HBO. HBO got a lot of nominations this year, but it's only in third place. And actually we saw more nominations this year for Hulu and for FX than we saw for HBO.
Yeah.
So that's
both,
kind of
Disney properties in a roundabout way now.
Yeah, yeah. But our three leading series in terms of most nominations all have come to us this year from either Hulu or FX or some combination of the two, because they do kind of work in tandem a lot too. So the most nominated program this year with 25 nominations is Shogun.
So well-deserved, Julio.
Yeah,
love that show.
I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. And it's interesting because there was a lot of controversy about where is this show going to get nominated? Because when it was announced as a limited series. And then at some point, they've made the decision now that they're going to do two more seasons of this. So credit to the producers, they did the right thing and submitted the show as drama and not as limited series where they were guaranteed to clean up. Still seemed to work out for them because, again, 25 nominations, most of any program this year. In second place with 23 nominations is The Bear, which was, of course, a big winner last year. And
another favorite of mine, just consistently in this last season, was very good. I've heard a little bit of backlash regarding this final season in that it's not as good as the previous seasons, or The Bear has never been as good as people think. And while there's better episodes in previous seasons, I think this is just another one that knocks it out of the park.
Well, and let's rewind a minute here, because again, we're going back to that eligibility period. All of the Emmys that The Bear just won at the beginning of the year were for season one. Season one was season that was eligible in that eligibility period. So these nominations are for season two. I know season three just dropped, But season three dropped after the eligibility period. So these nominations are for season two of The Bear.
The best season, I think.
Now, the controversy that I've heard a lot about this is that some people don't feel The Bear is a comedy.
Yeah, and I get that. This is a conversation you and I have a bit, and especially when it comes to comedies, how, like, the straightforward comedy has kind of gotten, it's not in vogue like it was in the early 2000s, right? So there's a lot of drama elements in The Bear. But I think there's enough comedic stuff in it to justify, even though I personally wouldn't probably classify it as comedy.
Now, the third most nominations for any program is a show that is much more of a straightforward comedy, although it's also a murder mystery, so it has some dramatic elements to it, too, and that is Only Murders in the Building, which is a series
this is one you're a big fan of.
I absolutely love this show. I'm very pleased. 21 nominations this year, and the biggest thing I'm most happy about is we finally got Selena Gomez nominated for lead actress. Has been a big bone of contention over the past few years, where Steve Martin and Martin Short were getting nominated, but she wasn't. And she is as much a part of that show as these two veteran actors are. And it's been a real shame that she hasn't gotten the recognition. Very pleased to see her get the recognition this year amongst the 21 nominations. Other shows that did really well, True Detective Night Country with 19 nominations.
Pretty good.
The Crown, which has been a perennial the past few years. This is the final season of The Crown that is going to be eligible. 18 nominations for that. And then this is kind of a surprise, I thought, including a Best Drama Series nomination and a Best Actor nomination for Walton Goggins, Fallout, with 17 nominations.
That is a surprise. A pleasant one for both of us.
Yeah, one of the most honored programs of the year. And I think very much, very well deserved, although a little bit surprising in that it's such a genre show. Mm-hmm. It's not the kind of thing that we necessarily see get the most recognition from awards type organizations. So I was very pleased to see that. I think, you know, following up on another show that's not eligible this year because the entire first season was in last year's eligibility period, The Last of Us. This is again, you know, the bar has been raised now for video game adaptations in that they are now, they can be quality efforts. And
it's wild to think of that. It was a punchline for so long.
Well, you know, at the same time, we see what that bar being raised is doing, and that the mediocre stuff is not lasting anymore. Paramount just canceled Halo.
Oh, really? Never saw it.
Halo was not up to snuff compared to the shows like The Last of Us and Fallout.
Mm.
So, perennial nominee Saturday Night Live with 17 nominations. So, again, a big push there. We saw a lot of nominations for Mr. and Mrs. Smith this year, which I haven't watched yet, but I hear is fantastic. Hacks is back in the running. The Morning, which was not eligible last year because last year it didn't have any episodes in the eligibility period. So again, it's the way television has changed. It's not necessarily the same shows being nominated every year because some shows are taking 2 and 3 years to get to their next seasons.
Yeah.
I think the other big news, which has been a continuing thing, is broadcast just doesn't have the pull here anymore in terms of drama and comedy and limited series. Again, Saturday Night Live is the most nominated broadcast program with 17 nominations. And it tends to compete in the variety categories rather than the comedy categories. The actors are nominated in the comedy categories, but everything else gets in the variety categories. So that gives it a little bit more leeway. Broadcast still does really well in the variety categories and the reality categories. But not so much in the big categories. The other big nominee as far as a broadcast show is Abbott Elementary with 9 nominations. It's definitely the most acclaimed show on broadcast television right now. So not surprising. Want to mention here a show that you and I are both very big on that has been overlooked. Coming in clutch for the final season, we finally got a Best Comedy nomination for Reservation Dogs. A best actor nomination in a comedy for I'm going to mess up his name, but his first name is DeFaro, who played Bear on that show. Very pleased to see that. So we'll see. We'll talk more about the Emmys in the future. We got to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Sees when I am weak.
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Analyst channel on YouTube. That feels like a little bit of a tone change, doesn't it, Jeremy, from everything we've been playing and talking about so far in this
yeah,
episode?
Yeah, it definitely does.
But it's also kind of fitting because we're going to talk about the season finale of The Boys, and that is the song that actually closed out the season, Heart-Shaped Box by Nirvana. And it really does fit where we are at the end of this episode. And where we are at the end of this episode is dark. Like not even remotely. Like, all right, let's address the elephant in the room, first of all. Unfortunately, in the course of real world events that have happened in the last week or so, I don't need to tell you folks what that is because we've all seen it. We've all heard it. Amazon actually had to come out and say, hey, we shot this a long time ago and this was written a long time ago and has nothing to do with what's happened in the world in the last couple of weeks. And we don't condone political violence of any sort. The episode is titled Season 4 Finale. That was not the title of this episode a week ago.
No.
And I mean, I'll just tell you what the title of that the episode was. It was called Assassination Run. Obviously, we had a terrible assassination attempt against the former president last weekend. So it colors some of the viewing of this episode, I think.
But, we get a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode, kind of sets a tone that makes it feel different in a way that hasn't, you know, previously in the series.
Yeah, but of course they did not shoot this episode over the last week. They did not write this episode over the last week. There was no way to know other than just, you know, I guess maybe looking at where the world is. And the Boys has been remarkably prescient about a lot of things. There have been a lot of things that come out over the course of the show that have been, when they got released, in line with what was going on in the world.
I don't want to belabor this stuff too much because there is a lot of show to talk about, but it seems to me to be a little bit difficult to skirt any sort of accountability or like we don't condone and this is all a coincidence when you're literally pulling from real world headlines and using that to reinforce the fictional narrative. To your point, what happened a week ago definitely was not on the table at the time that the show was in production and being released, all of that stuff. But considering how prescient it is, it's like, well, it's not a coincidence that there's real life characters being used in it.
No, not at all. Again, the series just continues to go from strength to strength. This season has been so phenomenal. And, you know, we talked about the fact that it wasn't eligible for the Emmys this year, but I'm expecting to see big nominations for this show next year. I think a return to Best Drama Series is in order. I think depending on which episodes the actors submit, man, we talked a lot about how good Anthony Starr is in this show as Homelander. And he is, but man, this episode, Carl Urban needs to submit this episode for Best Actor consideration. He just nails this episode to the wall.
Yeah, on the heels of seeing that Fallout did get a nomination for Walton Goggins, I would actually, I would be more confident to say that Carl Urban does have a chance because he was exceptional in this episode. He got to show dimensions of his character that we haven't really seen before, including, like you said at the beginning, this is a dark episode, and his character makes a very dark turn at the end of it. And just to throw up the spoilers, we do lose a couple of very important key players in the series, and I am livid that Victoria Newman is no longer a part of the series because I loved what she brought to it, and it just seemed like such a shame to see such a beautiful thing just ripped in half.
Yeah, and again, spoilers, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, what we saw happen to that character was shocking, surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also establishes a couple of things here. I think it establishes that Butcher is becoming every bit the villain that Homelander is.
Yep.
And it also establishes that Butcher may actually have the power to take on Homelander now.
Yeah, because it establishes that we're at the end, very, very end of this, like, the conflict through the next season is going to be something that is kind of playing out throughout. Like, the stakes have totally changed at this point.
Oh, yeah, as much as this show has been no holds barred from the start, I think that at this point, we know going in, it's already out there in the public. Season 5 is going to be the final season of The Boys. This is the story that they want to tell. They're ending it on their own terms. It's very clear that they're going into the end game here.
Yes.
Everything about this episode sets up that we're in the end game here. The boys are at their lowest point, and Homelander has more or less won.
Yeah. At this point, they've put in some, like, new act to where it's kind of martial law run by the Supes. You might have a better way of phrasing it, but essentially Homelander is, like, the de facto leader of America at this point.
Yeah, the president of the United States is after the death of the vice president elect right immediately after the election was certified, and then the president elect being framed for her assassination. The third in line is elevated, and he's basically just a puppet for Homelander.
Yeah,
and we find out also that all of this was Sage's plan. That Sage actually duped Homelander into firing her because she knew he would get in his own way and would screw up the plan, and that she was one step ahead of everybody else all along, which makes sense for her character. But man, was that a great revelation.
I don't know. You could probably sell me on it at a different time, but I felt like, how can you orchestrate all of these different pieces to fall into place? And then, so, okay, logistics aside, which I can relent to, maybe there's just things that I didn't pick up on, but do you really think this is the last phase of her plan, or
No.
is she even thinking further ahead?
No, she said it in so many words. Buckle up, Blonde Ambition. Phase 2 is about to start.
But I'm wondering if her ultimate plan is to overthrow and, unseat him when it's all said and done.
I think that's entirely possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, to what end, I don't know, whether it's because she's power hungry or because she just wants to see if she can do it, or because I think that's been a big motivation for her so far.
Absolutely.
She just wants to be, I don't think she wants to be in charge. I think she just wants to be right.
Which makes her a scary character in that way.
Yeah, it's just very interesting, but we see all of the boys taken captive at the end of this episode, other than Butcher, who's still out there. And I think the most heartbreaking thing is we finally see Frenchie and Kimiko come together, and then they're ripped apart. And there's this great scene at the end of the episode, and it took me a minute to realize what was going on. And we see a couple of characters from Gen V show up. And by the way, Gen V not getting nominated for anything at the Emmys, that's a big miss, because that was in the eligibility period. But we see Kate and Sam show up from Gen V to take the two of them prisoner. And we see Kimiko being restrained by Sam while Kate uses her powers to order Frenchie into captivity. And Kimiko straining to free herself and yelling, no, no, no. And it took me a minute to realize, oh my God, Kimiko, this character who has not been able to speak, is speaking for the first time.
Yeah.
And yelling. And it's emotional enough, but when you step back and say, wait a minute, she's talking. Like, that hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, to your point about all the characters being at their lowest, there was this moment right toward the end of the episode where they actually seemed to be turning a corner into this more optimistic worldview and moving forward as more heroic and altruistic characters. And then Butcher kind of comes in and sabotages that, which ultimately him succumbing to that is allowed all of these other things to happen. So now we're gonna start out the season with the Seven being in complete control. They went and wiped out everybody that had any dirt on them, and the boys being completely separated from each other. So, like, I'm I'm so excited to see where things play out, and I'm hoping that because they know that it's the final season and they've been making those plans for a while, that they're kind of expediting the production process and we won't have to wait like years to see this finale.
Well, let's say almost everyone, because there are three or four people out there that still have dirt. We've got Starlight got free. A-Train is still out there. Ashley is still out there. And and Edgar is still out there. Giancarlo's character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't think about him.
So, we are going to have 2 years before we get the next season, but we're going to get season two of Gen V in the interim, and I'm sure we'll see some more in that as well. We are done for this week. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. I'll be at Comic-Con next week. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.